Hey, everybody, it's Kai. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Corner Office Podcast. Hopefully, you are also a subscriber, and if you like what you've been hearing, you will leave us a 5-star review. Count them 5 stars on iTunes. I know, but it does help. For this interview, we're bringing back something from the archives and adding an update as well. It's all about genetics today. Ann Wojcicki is the CEO of a company called 23andMe. You might know them as the company that will map your DNA, give you your ancestral makeup in the process. But the FDA has now cleared 23andMe to test for genetic risks for some pretty widespread diseases, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's among them. So we're going to start with my latest conversation with Ann Wojcicki. And then as a bonus, our first chat from a couple of years ago. But anyway, here you go. The first and latest from 23andMe CEO Ann Wojcicki.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Ann Wojcicki, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
This FDA approval of these tests for you, it is a business opportunity, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a business opportunity. I think it just sort of amplifies what we've already been doing. And I think more importantly, it's a big win for the consumer in being able to take more ownership and more control over their health and get easy access to information that they want.
Give me your understanding of it, exactly what it is that the FDA has decided to authorize.
So a couple weeks ago, we got clearance from the FDA to give our customers access or, you know, reports back about their genetic health risks. So those are disease risks like Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. And we can now tell them whether or not they have a genetic risk factor that may increase or decrease their risk of the disease.
And you're banking on people wanting to know this. I mean, because it is while I understand the medical necessity of knowing, it's a little terrifying.
Well, I think actually one of the things that we found is that, you know, we're an 11-year-old company now. And so we actually have a lot of experience and a lot of data about what our customers do and do not want. And we've seen that this, you know, this is the kind of information people actually really want because they want to be proactive about their health. And I think that there's been sort of this disconnect between what the existing medical world, you know, wants, you know, encourages people to know because it depends on whether or not they can or cannot treat it or can do something. And we find there's actually a lot of lifestyle information that people want because they want to potentially exercise more or change their diet or, you know, just be more proactive or plan their life. And so this is information that I think consumers really, you know, we've seen over the last 11 years how much consumers do want.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say, and this is a little bit sideways, that you're an 11-year-old company now. It kind of feels like you guys have been around forever, even though just even scientifically that hasn't been possible.
It is definitely has not been possible, and it feels like forever in my mind too. But it's and in some ways I feel like we're, you know, 11 years is a long time, and in other ways I feel like we're a startup because with, in some ways, these FDA clearances, we are essentially a startup because we're starting over. And I think that there's, you know, after 11 years, I think we've, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of is actually just how much we've changed the perception of genetic information and what the consumer is capable of. And I think even seeing the medical community and how much, you know, some groups are still controversial about these recent approvals, but some people have really embraced it and said the era of the consumer is upon us. So, after 11 years, I am really, happy with how much, you know, in some ways the world is just starting, but in some ways I think we've really driven a lot of change.
You say the era of the consumer, specifically in medical science, is upon us. The fact is, though, that the company has consumers' data, right? What do you do with it? Mm-hmm. Where's the trust factor? And how do you account for this intensely personal thing that is now becoming businesses?
Well, I think there's two core elements of our company, and I think one is we're all about the consumer and empowering the consumer with information about them and helping them understand what to do with that information and what are the next steps they could do. And, you know, even aspects of being able to share your information are sort of key to this idea that you're in charge of yourself and we enable you to make those decisions that you want. The second aspect is this idea that you're going to benefit from the human genome and that there's a huge opportunity if we can actually only understand genetic information and how does it impact our health and how does it impact medications and how does it impact our life and how we relate to all of each other. So we ask customers if they want to consent for research, and over 85% of our customers actually do consent. And I think one thing that, you know, a lot of people assume like, oh, you know, why do these people consent for research? And I think the reality is that everyone recognizes that we, you know, the medical system and the knowledge that we have today is not perfect. And if we can contribute in some way, then people really want to, you know, improve healthcare for themselves and all of their friends and family around them. And so I think you see this goodwill energy that you, you know, in all these walks, you know, Susan G. Komen walks and Livestrong walks and Alzheimer's walks. And I think that's part of what we're trying to do is encourage people to say one of the most valuable things you have is your data. But it's really most valuable in a collective sense if we all come together and participate in research. And the goal here really is, you know, I think our brand is about the consumer and the brand is also about research and saying we are going to be the leaders and the drivers of understanding what genetics means for your life. And we're going to be the ones who are understanding really the gene and environment interaction and what you can do to change your behavior and hopefully also ones who are making discoveries and therapeutics and hopefully at some point actually curing some diseases.
This may be an unanswerable question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's your gut telling you about how far we are from truly personalized genetic medicine?
I think it's just a matter of data. I think that, you know, it's one of the things that I learned when I was back on Wall Street and I was studying HIV and I realized, you know, with a lot of data, we understood the virus and we understood, you know, HIV is essentially, it's a well-treated chronic disease now. And I see the potential, you know, there's massive human variability. And if we can understand the genome, I think that we will really have a much better understanding of, you know, who's going to respond to what medications, what's your likely prognosis with a disease diagnosis. You know, I have a friend who was just recently diagnosed with a serious disease, and it's amazing how I can go to five different doctors and get five different opinions about what the right treatment path is. And I think in this day and age that it doesn't happen in any other industries, and it doesn't happen in other industries because you actually have data. And that's one of the things that my hope is, you know, in 10, 20 years that's utterly changed. But we need, in order to drive that change, you need a tremendous amount of data.
And you need people, you need consumers to buy into that, right? You have to have them have confidence that the data is going to be closely and carefully handled and that it will be aggregated for the good and yet not outing them, as it were.
Correct. The core of the company is, like I said, the first and foremost decision. Like if I ever have to make a decision tree, it's always the consumer is first. And we do things and we make decisions. What's in the best interest of the consumer? And giving the consumer that choice of, you know, do you want to participate, not participate, is the first choice. Second is we have no business if we can't protect the privacy of our customers. And so we can learn a lot from what, you know, example, what the banking industry has done in terms of data privacy and security and cybersecurity. And, you know, we do some you know, basic database infrastructure, you know, how we separate out the genetic information from your personally identifiable information. So we take privacy incredibly seriously, and we focus on enabling our consumers to have that choice about how they want their data to be used. And let me just say one thing. When individuals come to us and they have a serious disease, they're all about – you know, coming in and saying, just use our data in any way possible because I have a serious disease and I just want to see that cured. So, you know, we had, years ago, a roundtable discussion with a bunch of individuals with serious cancer. And they're like, you know, you don't even have to ask us. We want to make a difference in the world. So enable us to make a difference. And I think one thing also, people are always really upset when they find out they participated in a clinical study and they realize that their sample is just sitting in a freezer. And they have a terminal diagnosis. And so what we're trying to really do is say, we're going to actively use this data to really make discoveries. And some of those discoveries are about things like food and saturated fat and whether or not that's going to have an impact on your health. And that's the kind of research that no one else in this world is going to do because it doesn't make money. But because it's in the interest of our customers and our customers want that information, we do that research. So we really look at everything from that perspective of what is in the best interest of the consumer. And I have this selfish bent on it. Like, I want to know how to live my life. Like, we represent what consumers really want to know about themselves. And we want to know what's the right diet, what's the right exercise, what are the actions we can take to be healthier. And then when we are sick, we want to know what is actually that right treatment path for us.
Let me ask you a quick question about the regulatory environment. Since you are so heavily dependent, as these tests and approvals you just got from the FDA show, you're so heavily dependent on the regulatory apparatus working the right way. What is your take on regulation in the new environment in Washington?
I haven't been too closely involved in sort of all of the changes, but I mean, without a doubt, it seems like there's not as much of an interest in regulations these days. But you know, our clearance specifically, I think, was the result of really years of work. And so without a doubt, we are more and more in this deregulatory environment. But I look at our team and the literally years of work that it took to get this clearance, and how much, you know, it's the people on the ground within the FDA who really spent the time, you know, who've been there for years, you know, some of them for decades, who spent the time understanding how this works and understanding our approach and working with us to show that consumers actually really can understand this information and can take, you know, responsible actions with it. It's that team, I think, that is evolving, and it's not necessarily from above, but it's really that team that's put in the effort into understanding what we're doing and really embracing change.
As you look at data aggregation as part of your business model, right, which you have said is is the key to everything, right? More data. Is there going to be a tipping point where you're going to be able to say, yes, now it's all going to snowball, as opposed to what I imagine for you has been a long, hard slog?
It's definitely been a long, hard slog. It's in some ways getting this clearance. Like I feel like I'm at that point where I see the light at the end of the tunnel. There's enough. We have over 2 million people, and with over 2 million people walking around with their genetic information, it's no longer this sort of esoteric novelty that some people have done, where you have, you know, a lot of consumers now who have genetic information. And I think it is, it's, I wouldn't quite say we're at that tipping point yet, but I think we're pretty close in terms of how there's sort of broad acceptance and the potential of what we can discover with that amount of data.
Anne Wojcicki is the co-founder and CEO of 23andMe. Anne, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, that's 23andMe today. Now our conversation from a couple of years ago. And oh, what a difference a couple of years and some changes in regulations can make. Here you go. From July 2015, Anne Wojcicki, the CEO of 23andMe. I'm not sure I've ever started an interview with this question, but how's the genetics business these days?
I have to say the genetics business is going well. We just reached critical mass. We hit our millionth customer. We have an FDA, you know, approval to start to remarket some of our health reports. And we just are getting incredible enthusiasm from our customers.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack in there. First of all, why is a million users, a million people critical mass for you? Why is that a magic number?
I don't think it was such a magic number. It was more the idea that with a million people in the country walking around with their genetic information, empowered with information about themselves and their health and their ancestry, it starts to spread, because it's in some ways the genetic information is so interesting and catchy that each person is going and talking to their family and their friends, that you start to create a disruption. And the reason why we started this company is because I believe that genetic information will be the foundation for the next way we deliver healthcare.
One of the things you said in that first answer, where you said things are going great, is that the FDA has just approved you guys to remarket one of your reports, one of your tests. They pulled your personal genetic test off the market about, what, 18 months, 2 years ago, whatever it was. I wonder if you guys were a little cocky out of the gate.
I don't think we were cocky for that. I think if I roll back the clock, what happened is that when we launched, we really believed that we were an information company, that we're empowering individuals to get access to their genetic information, and we're connecting you to publicly available literature. When we got that warning letter, it was genuinely a surprise. Like, I really believe, like, we're trying to do things that democratize healthcare for people. And I look at the FDA as the watchdog for, you know, people's health. And I think that's part of what I felt like our mission is really trying to do, is democratize it, enable people to get access to this. You know, it's $100. What other healthcare product of this level of complexity can you say that you can get for $100? So we've worked really hard to make this available and accessible, and we wanted the FDA to be our ally. That said, I think that we understand now that it's a regulated environment, and there's certain protocol and steps to follow, and we understand that, and we have now the team. We have a fabulous team in place now that is executing on that.
Let me get really cynical then and just throw out a hypothetical, right? Let's say a drug maker who's involved in Parkinson's or somebody who's involved in cystic fibrosis comes to you and says, hey, Anne, here's $1 gazillion for all your genetic data on these kinds of people.
So we always, when we set up the company, like, we really set it up thinking about the patient or the customer in mind. And we do a lot of partnerships with pharma companies, because we feel like that's the best interest of the consumer in order to make meaningful discoveries from the data. But if a consumer doesn't like what we do, they always have the ability to close their account, delete their data, and not participate in any more research. We see our consumers as our primary customer and as our partner. And so we have to do the research that reflects the interests of our customers.
Ideal world, what does genetic medicine and, more importantly, 23andMe's business model and protocol look like, you know, 10 years from now? How are you guys doing?
So if you look at the history of drug discovery and you look at the pharma lobbying group, every single year for the last couple decades, it has become more inefficient and harder to develop new therapies. And what I see as success is if we can actually change that by having a genetic approach to drug discovery. And I think there's almost a sort of Moneyball kind of take on this where we're coming with a very different approach. And if we can actually decrease the failure rate from 9 out of 10 drugs failing in clinical trials, and we can have, you know, 7 out of 10 instead failing, that is a major victory for drug discovery and for people having better therapies. That's my goal.
Anne Wojcicki, the co-founder and CEO of 23andMe. Anne, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much.
All right, that's it for today. Thanks, as always, for listening. Today's episode was produced by Robert Garova. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. We'll see you next time.